everybody. Welcome to
Twin Souls Podcast with your hosts,
Jordan
and Kelsey.
Stay tuned for an episode of Murder, Mystery,
and Mayhem.
What do you think about the word family annihilator?
I think it sounds really horrible and cruel.
Do you think it does justice to the crime?
I think so, because it says it all. I mean, it's horrible, but I don't think you could really do worse than that as far as the title goes, because it makes you go, holy crap, what did he do?
Oh, 100%. I totally agree right there.
So Chris Watts was the typical suburban father who lived in Frederick, Colorado with Shanann, his wife, and his two young daughters, Shanann, Bella and Celeste, and they seemed to have the perfect life. Shanann stayed home, did an MLM, which is short for multi-level marketing. She did a product called Thrive, which is a overall wellness product. That's their whole brand. And Chris was some sort of manager at Anadarko Oil Company. And they had a beautiful, beautiful big house in Frederick, Colorado. I mean, they just had it all. They had two beautiful daughters, and things started going downhill when Chris started falling out of love with Shanann. And I do want to say at the beginning of this podcast that we aren't going to talk much about what's going around on Facebook per se, which is a lot of Shanann's parenting, baby-wise, and just a lot of stuff like that. I don't want to go into it because I just feel like when she was alive, she did the best she could with her children. And I'm a new mom myself, and I'm not in any position to judge. And I think Jordan kind of feels the same way.
Oh, I 100% agree. Who are we to judge how someone wants to raise their family?
They can
do it however way they choose.
I just feel like she chose what she felt like was the best for her girls, and I respect that. So if you want to see all about that, go on some of the Facebook groups. There's tons of them. Chris Watts, Shanann Watts, and you'll kind of see all of this ugliness kind of behind the case, the other side. I encourage people to do that just to get both sides. I think that's really important. But like I said, we're here to respect Shanann and the girl's memory. And we want to be respectful to the Ruzicks and the Watts family as well. We don't want to offend anybody with what we discuss.
Definitely. That is not our
intention.
Yes, exactly. That is not our intention to offend anybody or make anybody else additionally upset or pissed off or angry.
And we don't want to sway anyone else's personal opinion, because I know some mothers still do baby wise today. And like, props to you. If that's how you feel like you need to raise your kids, you know, great for you. I'm glad that's working out. And there's tons of styles people can, you know, follow today. I mean, Jordan's been around tons of different parenting styles. So have I. 100%. And I just don't want to go there. So we're just going to discuss more about the case. We're going to go into the autopsy, and we're going to discuss kind of what our thoughts are. But again, I do encourage our listeners to go on the Facebook groups and kind of check out the other side of things that may not have been said at the trial. So take you to early, I believe it was June, Chris started having an affair with a mistress, and we are not going to name her. She was found to have no part in the crime. Jordan and I discussed this ahead of time.
I do actually have some text messages here between Shanann and her friend, because we're actually speaking about it. So I'm going to go ahead and read these really quickly. I didn't catch her friend's name, but as soon as I start reading it, I'm sure you're going to...
Okay.
I believe that's the friend who released all these messages.
And she's a part of Thrive. She does the MLM with Shanann and all that wellness kind of stuff.
Exactly. So I'm just not going to name her until we know for sure who it is.
Okay. Okay. That's fair.
Okay. So the friend, did you look through the phone? Did you ask if there is someone? Shanann, he said last night opposites attract, but this isn't working anymore. I did. He denied. No, I didn't look. He's deleting messages from his dad. I'm sure he's not that stupid. The friend, why is he deleting messages from his dad? That makes no sense. Any of this. It's not Chris. He loves and adores you. So that's one of the text messages. I do have quite a few different ones here about the situation throughout the 6 weeks prior. Yeah.
The timeline. Okay, you want me to keep going? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I get where you're coming though, and I kind of love that. So, okay. So we're going to go up to the point where Chris met his mistress. He started texting her and sending her lovely little letters at work. And then he was going home at night acting like everything was cool. Him and his wife's relationship was starting to fall apart. I think he was just falling out of love with her from, that's what I understand from what I've read. I think the spark was just going out there, which is fine. I think that happens to people every day.
Exactly.
But do I think she deserved to be murdered? Absolutely not. I don't think the girls deserve to be murdered. I think it was horrible.
There was no means, no grounds. There was no reason why he had to do what he did. He could have chosen the manly way of doing it and of politely getting a divorce, going to counseling about it, and then taking the next step, separating.
Yeah, not violence. So he started having an affair and things just kind of escalated. Their relationship started falling apart. Shanann took trips from Thrive that she won, or for business trips throughout those 6 weeks as well, so they weren't together all the time. She also went to South Carolina or North Carolina, I'll correct this later, to visit her family and Chris's family for 6 weeks with the girls. And that's when Chris started canoodling, per se, with his mistress, and things just escalated. They started to have sex. It really started to get hot and spicy.
They had the affair. They went all the way.
They did. They went all the way. And over those 6 weeks, Chris went back to South or North Carolina to get the girls and Shanann to bring them back to Frederick, Colorado, which he did. And everything just kind of went downhill.
Do we know why or how the affair with his coworker began? Did he say anything that... Because I'm assuming she had to have seen pictures at work of his family or know about his family.
And that's one of those other controversial topics, which I think we actually should discuss in this case. Because if you read some of the Facebook groups and even Google, you'll see a lot of, well, she must have known he had a wife. She must have known this. Maybe she was Googling Shanann back in whenever. They say a bunch of crazy things that connect the mistress to Shanann earlier on, almost like she was doing this on purpose to meet Chris and do what she did to his family. I don't know how she didn't know.
Right. That just kind of blows my mind, because I think, well, depending, unless she's like new and the first thing he kind of said was, oh, I don't have a wife, she's dead or something like that.
Oh, he said that they were separated.
Oh, okay.
So he said they were already separating and that they were moving out of their house. And she kind of believed that, which I don't even know what to say about her.
Like, there's not a lot to say.
No.
If she was told they separated, then she had all right to go get a new man.
Unless she found out later that.
Exactly.
And he didn't tell her, too, that Shanann was pregnant for the third time.
Oh, that's lovely.
So she didn't find that out till later on.
Later on.
I think during the interrogation is when she found out. I'm not 100% sure. Again, I'll correct this later on, but she did eventually find out.
I would imagine she would.
And the interview with her that I watched with the police and the initial interrogation, she seemed horrified, but not in a genuine way, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yes, it does.
And that took me back. She wasn't shocked. She was more like, well, he didn't do this for me. And that's all she kind of kept referring back to. It's more like, you know, his family's missing. They're murdered. They were found dead in the most horrible way. And she's busy trying to get the cops off of her and her entrail. Instead of like, what can I do? Can I help? Is there anything I can do? Can I set Chris up to, you know, tell me where the bodies are? Can I do something?
Regardless.
Her lack
of... He did it for her.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
Like, I have some letters here that we can get into later on, But one of the quotes is something like, a letter from prison for his book, Letters from Christopher, which was published Wednesday, October 7th, I believe, 2019. It stated something like, I knew if I took my hands off of her, she would still keep me from Nikki. And for her to say, oh no, he didn't do it for me. Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did.
You understand, he did it for what he thought it was love.
I agree. I think he did it. I think he saw a new life, and I think he saw no responsibility, you know? And I just think he got blinded by what he thought would be. And I think he lost himself in every other aspect, because he was just the typical suburban, really seemed really, really good dad. He would play with the kids and you would see videos of him, and he was just, I mean, in my books, that would be a pretty good father as far as a definition goes.
Oh, definitely. Totally. On the outside, you would totally see him and think, oh, great father. And then
maybe nice husband, because the Thrive videos that Shanann made on Facebook were pretty perfect as far as, you know, I mean, there were some tendencies of her. Some people said she was narcissistic in some of those videos. Again, we're not going to discuss that, because I just feel like she's dead. We need to respect that, and we need to leave that alone. It doesn't matter anymore. What's done is done. So that's all I'm going to say, because I know it's going to come up somewhere.
Definitely.
And to be completely honest, to me, there was some borderline, like, I think Shanann was more of the controller, and I think Chris kind of fell into more of a submissive role in the marriage. And I think he just got so sick of being submissive to her. And I think he went to someone else who made him feel like a man. I think that's what happened.
That makes total sense.
I think that is exactly what happened. His mistress gave him all of his power and his manlyhood back, and feeling like, oh, I'm strong and I'm good looking and she likes me. And it was just going sour with Shanann, and that's fine. That happens every single day. That happened with my parents.
But what doesn't happen is taking it out on your family and murdering every single one of them.
Yeah, I mean, if he had murdered Shanann, I could have had some kind of respect for him if he had left the girls at the house alive and had just taken off to Mexico with his mistress.
Yeah.
I feel like that would have been the best out of, you know, the outcomes. Of course, the best outcome was that they all would have survived, of course. But I'm just saying, that's what I feel on this specific case.
Exactly.
Back to the story, and then we'll get into some of the text messages.
Perfect. Sounds great.
So Chris came home one day and Shanann had announced to him that she was pregnant with baby number 3. And Chris had a look on his face like, oh no, oh crap. Because he had already started falling for this mistress, and he was like, oh my God, what the hell am I going to do? You could read it all over his face.
I'm getting wrapped deeper in. Unfortunately, I didn't want to be.
Yep. It's exactly.
Exactly what he's thinking.
And he was trying to find an out. I think that's when his mind started going, oh my God, like, this is real. He comes back and Shanann goes on a weekend trip, I believe, to Arizona for Thrive for her MLM. She goes with her best friend and a couple of her closest friends. Jordan has the text messages from her friend Addie that was with her on that last trip that she was seen alive.
I'm going to read a couple of them. So
yeah.
Give me one second here. Is this right around the time of the gender reveal? Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so Taylor. So this is actually Taylor and Shanann.
Okay, Taylor.
At least these ones here that I'm going to be reading. So August 8th, Taylor. Nikki just told me you want to cancel the gender reveal. What's going on? Is everything okay? Shanann. Chris said we're not compatible anymore. Taylor. I just landed in Chicago, like still on the plane. Oh my God, what? Shanann. He said we're not compatible anymore. He refused to hug me, said even that he said he thought another baby would fix his feelings, said he refused couples counseling. Shanann, he said he had a lot of time to think. Taylor, I'm so sorry. I don't even know what to say. Shanann, me neither, girl. That is the last text message I do have about that specific situation.
And that's just sad as hell to me. I just feel like this woman is craving and crying out for her husband's attention. And at this point, he's completely checked out.
And she's just so confused, wanting to cancel the gender reveal. That's a major thing that happens.
Now, I want to say too that Nikki, that's referenced in this message, is the one, and we'll get into this, that initially went over to the house when the girls went missing and said, like, something stinks. So she's going to play a big part of this later. She was Shanann and Chris's neighbor, and her and Shanann were very, very close.
Yes.
So I just don't want everyone to be confused, because there are two Nikkis in this case. I'm not going to say who the other one is, but, you know, Google it, because you can find it everywhere.
Exactly. It's all posted all over Twitter, Instagram. Yeah. You can find it on Reddit and a few other places.
You can definitely find it in all of those places. This case is still pretty popular as of to date, even.
If you have a weak stomach or do not want to hear some gruesome details, we'll let you know in advance.
And very disturbing details that includes children.
Yes.
So if it bothers you, I suggest you maybe turn the volume down or turn this off now. But this everything that we're saying is available on Google. Okay, so Shanann and Chris, they finally had it out after this weekend trip. She came home at like 2 or 3 in the morning that morning. It was, I believe it was August 13th. August 13th. Yeah. Okay. So it was August 13th. Shanann came home from Arizona from her MLM trip. At 2 or 3 in the morning, she got into bed. Chris states, and this is just Chris's side of things, that they had an intense emotional conversation and they had an argument, and Chris told her that he didn't love her anymore, that he wanted to divorce. And she's like, I knew you had someone else, and accusing him, and said something along the lines of, oh, well, they're never going to see the kids again. Chris said this made him snap and he got on top of her. And she said, well, get off, you're going to hurt the baby, because she was 4 months pregnant.
Exactly.
And Chris just put his hands around her neck and squeezed as hard as he could until, and he, I'm quoting him, he says that her eyes turn bloodshot. And
oh my God, that's pretty disturbing.
And he knew that she was gone when she relieved herself. And that's when Bella came in. Bella had heard the commotion. So there must have been some commotion. I don't believe Shanann wasn't fighting back.
I don't believe that either.
She's
just going to let him kill her.
He says that she was praying. I don't believe that.
No, I don't think so either.
Like, if you watch her YouTube video, she was a strong woman. There was no way in hell that she was going to allow him to kill her without a fight. I don't believe that.
I don't think so either. Based on what I've seen and read and heard, I agree with you.
So Bella came in. Chris was wrapping her up in the bed sheet on the bed. And she said, well, what's wrong with mommy? I mean, this is the story that Chris told. We're going to go into what he said actually happened after the full confession comes out. But this is what he initially told investigator Tammy and Agent Coder during the initial interrogation, that Bella had come in. There was a commotion. She started to cry. She said, what's wrong with mommy? He said, well, mommy doesn't feel good. We're going to take her to the doctor. And he started dragging her body off of the bed from there in front of Bella. And Bella's crying and whining woke up Cece, who was the younger sister. And she noticed that something was wrong. Bella was upset. Daddy was dragging her mother down the stairs. And both the girls kind of started to whine. They didn't understand. Chris was dragging her body down the stairs and her head was hitting each stair. He just described hearing.
That would be so disturbing for someone so young, two children so young to witness.
Under 5. Exactly. And he said that her head hit every stair so hard. It was like a loud thump. If you look at pictures of the house, they had a lot of stairs.
Yes, I seen a couple videos of the stairs when Chris was kind of, I think it was the day after, the day of.
Yeah.
They went missing of the whole house, walking around, kind of showing them. And that's when we first get to see his body language about the whole situation.
Yeah. And it's, again, like, this is something that everyone can go and watch on YouTube. So Chris ends up killing Shanann. He loads the girls up into his truck. Little did Chris realize that his neighbor had a surveillance camera watching him back his truck up and load something in. And his neighbor had said, this is the first time he's ever done that in all the years we've lived here. First time he's ever backed his truck up.
So I want to add to the surveillance. The night Shanann actually got home, so I guess you can say earlier that morning, she arrived, they actually had home surveillance on their front door. So we actually see her come home, get dropped off by her friend who's waiting for her to actually get into the house before she pulls away.
Yeah,
so
that's Nikki. We do actually
know 100% she got home.
Yeah, she was alive. She was well. She went into the house. We're assuming she put her bags by the door because that's where they were found later that morning. And she had probably went upstairs and just gotten undressed and went to bed. Exactly. And I think maybe he pounced on her and started an argument. And she just said, like, what's wrong with you? You know, I've been away from you for 6 weeks and you're not kissing me. We're not being intimate. Like, what's wrong with you? I think they just had it out.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I am going to read more into that when we're actually done and getting around to it. I have more letters from Chris, which he actually explains. And this is actually his first full written confession about what actually happened. And then we were, where were we? I think we were left at the neighbor.
Yes, surveillance. Yes. So Chris loaded the girls up into the truck. It was about an hour to his first site, but he made sure to text everyone first at the work site and said, don't worry, I got it. You don't have to show up there today. I'm going to take care of everything. Don't bother even coming out to survey. That was the site name at the time. So he drove his girls, his little girls, with their mother's body at their feet in the bed of the truck. And Chris talked about how Bella constantly complained of the smell of her mother's body at her feet.
It doesn't take long for decomposition to set in and the smell to take place.
Which we know, I've heard, is absolutely horrible. And, you know, it was an hour ride with her mother at her feet, her thinking her mother was sick. A four-year-old, I believe she was. She was three and four. And she just didn't know. She thought her mother was sick. She didn't know what was happening. And Chris got to the site and he threw Shanann out of the truck. And he had said in his letters that Jordan will probably read that he realized she had smelled, Shanann had smelled. And when he had thrown her in the, I think it was 8 inches of grave. It was very, very shallow. He had noticed that she had given birth to his son while she was in the back of the truck.
Oh my God, that is horrible.
So that's what the smell assumingly was her having coffin birth in the back of this truck.
What the fuck?
Under her children's feet, no less. So he buries Shanann really, really sloppy, just in a way.
That's absolutely disturbing.
He throws her in the grave. He says how he was so angry with her and he just tosses her in because he didn't care. He didn't care how she landed. And once he covered her up,
he's the one who had the affair.
Well, I guess for emasculating him or demasculating him, however they say it.
That's some bullshit.
And there's a whole thing, like, we're going to get into more of the background on this kind of thing of why he was so angry after we talk about how it unfolded. Again, the sources are mostly Facebook groups. There's tons of them. And it just gives you a really good insight on this case. From front to back. I think it's important people both know both sides.
And hear everyone's opinion on it, because someone could say something that kind of coincides with your opinion, and that kind of makes sense, that you kind of connect and you yourself make sense in your mind.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely with that. So the rest of the murder happens at the site after he's done with Shanann. He takes Cece's favorite blankie, her Steelers blanket, I believe is what they said it was. And he covers her and he smothers her. And her four-year-old little sister, older sister Bella, sitting in the front seat watching him smother her little sister to death.
She must have been so terrified in that moment. I can't even believe what she had to go through or witness.
I don't even want to think about it because my heart wrenches. Because she was probably wondering, where the hell is everyone? Where's my mom? Where's my grandma?
Did he bury them all in the same grave?
No. So he buried them. He buried Shanann in the dirt. And after he was done smothering Cece and she had passed, he walked up to tank B, I believe it was at the site, a big crude oil tank. So it basically has crude oil, water. It's basically just waste. And he says he unlatched it and dropped her in, and how easy it was for him to just drop her in.
Oh my God.
And how she made a little splash.
What? That is disgusting.
And how easy it was for him. He said he remembers how easy it was to just drop her in. Like, he felt nothing. He was numb.
Like, I don't even know what to say about that. Like, you're mad at your wife. So you bury your wife. but then you dispose of your children like they're nothing.
Like, apparently Chris had said that the children started acting like Shanann, that they were treating him like Shanann would, which makes no sense to me.
No, I mean, it makes no sense at all. Like, you're going to blame 3- and 4-year-old children? That makes no sense whatsoever in any thinking of that.
You deserve
to be in prison.
Yeah, I agree. And then once he was done with Cece, he went down back to the truck to Bella, the 4-year-old. And she was so smart. She was known to be super, super smart, super empathetic. She was very quiet. She just had a soft disposition overall about her that I've watched in the videos. This is just my opinion of Bella and what her grandparents have said about her. And he had taken the same blanket and smothered her as well. But Bella was a fighter. She put up a fight against her father. She had all kinds of bites and all kinds of cuts through her lips. During the autopsy, they found all of these because she was biting her tongue so hard trying to fight back against him.
Oh my goodness.
And he did the same thing. He picked her up after she passed away and walked her up to the tank A and dropped her in. And he remembers having to stomp on her because she was bigger than the hatch. The hatch was only an 8-inch opening.
And
investigators found a tuft of hair on the top of the hatch that was Bella's hair that matched his story of having to squeeze her into this hatch.
So I pulled up some pictures here that I'm looking at now. And it's a picture of the, I guess you can call them oil drums. And then I guess it has a circle which states where Shanann was buried. And I'm just looking at them and I just don't understand why the hatred towards the daughter and the disposal was so much worse than the mother's. I still just don't understand. Why not bury the girls and shove Shanann through the, excuse my language for anyone out there, but shove Shanann through the oil. Like, that makes no sense.
If he was that mad at her.
Bury all three.
Yeah, I agree.
Ugh.
If he was that mad at her and wanted her to suffer, but apparently he said that he wanted them to be apart to spite Shanann in death. He didn't want her to have her girls with her because he knew that she would want the exact opposite.
Now her girls are with her, though.
Yes, now they are. But as far as burial goes, he did it to spite Shanann.
Absolutely disgusting. I can't even believe the thinking of that. That is like one of the things in this case that really did not make sense. It made me stop and be like, why the disposal so bad? Like, I don't know. There's no reason. I don't think we're ever gonna really.
I don't think we're ever gonna know why. Exactly. And I don't think it's ever going to make sense to people that are logical.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't make sense. The horrible cruelty involved of smothering his daughters and just the way he disposed of his family and then went back to it the next day. Like, oh, I don't know where they are. My house is empty.
You got to tell me how this piece of shit got.
So he eventually got caught. So after all of that was done, he even left his bed sheet out there from the crime scene. Yeah, he went into this case with complete ignorance. He was stupid. It was totally moment by moment, my opinion. So he goes back, he buys himself breakfast, which was a sandwich, and then he goes back to the house, assumingly gets cleaned up, goes back to work. Nikki had come over that day to visit Shanann because she had an OB appointment for the baby. What the Facebook group said was this was because Nico was found to have a fast heartbeat. I'm not going to confirm that because I'm not 100% sure. But if someone does know, please let us know, because I think that's very interesting. And that's kind of the missing piece to why she had an appointment that day.
Exactly.
So Nikki went over to the house. She noticed that Shanann's bags were still by the door. She noticed her shoes were still there. Her car was still there. The girls' car seats were still there. And she just said, something is not right. Why is she not home? She was a stay-at-home mother. She worked MLM and she was at home. That's what she did. That was her job.
Exactly. So she should always be home unless she's out at an appointment or...
Yeah, exactly. Groceries. Or dropping the girls off at school or whatever she did.
Exactly.
And Nikki had been trying to text her all morning. Shanann lived on her cell phone. There's no doubt about that. She has tons of Facebook videos live from her cell phone, which is fine. I think that's great. that now they exist for her family to watch, I think that's awesome. Some people are saying, well, she, you know, she overdid it too much. She overshared. Well, maybe.
That's what, in time of Facebook, that's what a lot of people do. A lot of parents do. They overshare. Like, they're proud. They want to show all their friends and family all about their life.
So, and that was a sales point. Her family was a sales point for her.
Exactly.
I mean, it sold Thrive. That's what sold her Thrive, this picture perfect family and them making Thrive bites and trying Pro Bars and all that kind of crazy stuff. That brought buyers, that made people want to sign up under her.
Oh, totally. I mean, she has every right to do what she wants when she's trying to make money.
If it's
about a family and getting fit as a family and doing things for family, then so be it.
I mean, I definitely think...
I don't know exactly what about Thrive, so I'm just kind of winging it on that.
It's basically like a wellness brand. It's like vitamins and shakes. And
like a different version of like Weight Watchers then, essentially?
Kind of, yeah. It helps weight loss. It's supposed to help your energy. The patches are actually incredible. I tried them myself just to debunk the whole Thrive patch thing that was going around on Facebook. Like, they suck, they don't work, and I actually love them. Anyway, so where was I? Nikki called the police and said, something stinks here. My friend, she's not home. Something's weird. And was calling Chris saying, where's Shanann? And Chris said, oh, she's just out with the girls at a friend's house. But I don't know which friend.
Okay.
So Nikki said, this is really weird. Shanann would have told me if she was going somewhere. So the police officer shows up. Chris shows up. He takes them in on a tour of his house and is dropping all these little subtle hints. All of a sudden, he finds her wedding ring upstairs. And all of a sudden, her cell phone is sitting on the banister.
That's so sketchy.
And Nikki went into the house and went into the kitchen and looked into her best friend's purse and found Cece's EpiPen because Cece was majorly allergic to tree nuts. And she wouldn't go anywhere without that. She had a special medication she took because she had lupus. She wouldn't go anywhere without that either. And she wouldn't go anywhere without her phone. So Nikki said that she had a feeling that things were bad. It just made no sense.
Something had happened.
There was no sign of the girls at all to speak of. So they go over to Nate, who's the neighbor, which I am going to credit in this episode because I think he was incredible in solving this case. I think Nate and Nikki both were incredible people to do what they did. And without them, I don't think Chris would have been caught as fast as he was.
I've seen a few videos of the whole Nate situation that you're going to bring up, and I totally agree with you. Both of them immediately. Something is off, something is wrong, something's not right.
Both of them,
immediately.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you mention Nate, he also mentions something like, the way Chris is acting is not normal. That's not what he's doing normal. So I'm going to get you into that part.
So Chris, they were going over the footage that I was talking about earlier. And Nate had noticed how he moved his truck back, and he never does that. In the couple of years he lived there, not one time has he backed his truck up into the garage to load anything. He always walks back and forth from the house to the truck, the house to the truck, and then he leaves.
If you're trying to hide some bodies, you're not going to take it from the house out to the truck.
You're gonna drag it and then load it in the back of the truck.
So this was probably the neighbor's first like ding ding ding, something isn't right.
I think this was his first initial sign, and then he saw how Chris was acting. Again, we can't describe this enough. I do encourage people to go on Facebook and watch this video because it is absolutely bizarre. Chris is seen watching the surveillance, shaking. He's shaking his hands, his head. He's putting his hands above his head like you do when you surrender to police. Like, you put your hands up, and like he was already doing it.
Really fidgety.
Yeah,
fidgety.
He was.
Like, too much.
And he was over talking himself, like, oh, I was doing this in this scene. I was doing this in that scene.
And Chris probably isn't 20 feet away when his neighbor says to the cop, he's not acting right.
Yeah. Exactly. He's not acting right. Nate said later in other interviews that he had said that because if it was his family that was missing, he wouldn't have taken his eyes off of that screen. And I agree with him.
Yeah.
And Chris was looking away. He didn't want to look at the video because he knew what was happening.
Exactly.
And as soon as he walked out, the cop said to Nate, well, thank you for everything. And Nate said, you know, he's not acting right. He's never fidgety. He's never like that. Exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
And then they brought him in for interrogation. They thought something was off. Then they booked him for a lie detector test. The next day, Agent Tammy Lee and the FBI conducted this test with Chris. He scored a minus 18 on his polygraph test. He lied on every single question that was asked.
Even what his name is? All right, they don't ask that, actually. Never mind.
They asked that. It was more like, where do you know where what happened to Shanann? Do you know where she is? Do you know where the girls are?
Okay.
So he completely failed with a negative 18. You need a minus 2 to fail. So he was like way off the scale. Whoa,
yeah.
And to pass a lie detector, you need a plus 2.
Okay. Okay. I was going to ask if you knew what was a pass and what was a fail. So thank you.
So he was way off. And they finally just said, you know what? Tell us what happened. You failed. So we know that you know where they are. And Chris he came out with the story that I just told, that, you know, he killed Shanann first and then he killed the girls and told them where their bodies were.
So you being in criminology, I got to ask, what with lie detectors? Like, we hear all the time that they're not accurate at all. We know in this case, it's accurate with Chris, but why do you think we still use them if there's a lack of accuracy?
I think, well, they're not admissible in court, if that's what you mean.
Oh, okay.
So you can't take it to a judge in a court of law and say, you know, he lied on his polygraph test.
That's why they said, tell us what happened.
Yeah, you can't do that. All it does is give you doubt. Like, okay, it's more likely than not that he knows what happened.
Okay, gotcha.
So I think that's why they use it. I think it's more of an intimidation tool, quite frankly.
Yep.
Because if you're lying and you're caught on the spot, you're either going to ask for a lawyer or you're just going to spill your guts.
True.
Just my opinion. Some criminals do stay strong. Like, I had nothing to do with it.
Exactly.
That's for a later conversation. But in this case, Chris was a terrible liar.
Exactly.
And so he told them, this is where you can find their bodies, body ABC. And so the next day they went, they retrieved Shanann's body out of the ground. She was only dug in 8 inches, very, very shallow, shallow grave. She was just thrown in. She was found face down. And by the time they had retrieved Shanann's body, it was too late. So they had to wait till the next morning to retrieve the girls. August 15th, I believe, is when they finally retrieved the girls' bodies from the oil tanks. And they started with, I believe they went to find Cece first. And she was still wearing her pull-up, which breaks my heart because my daughter's 2 and she's in pull-ups.
Yeah.
And the girls were soaking in crude oil for 2 days. Their skin was falling off. They were degloving.
Oh, that's a little graphic.
So
TMI,
they had
coming out.
Yeah. They had
we missed that.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. They had to drain both tanks and retrieve both girls. They had to walk into these tanks in hazmat suits. They had to retrieve the girls, and they actually TMI had to bag their skin separately from their bodies. The oil had eaten through.
Okay, I'm speechless.
It's extremely graphic and it's very cruel and it makes my blood boil.
Yes, it really does.
Where was I? So we're talking about the autopsies.
Yep.
So the girls were retrieved finally. They were brought back. Their autopsies pretty much happened how Chris said. Shanann had bloodshot eyes. They were blood, like really, really bulgy from being strangled. She had marks. She had indeed given coffin birth to her son.
Okay.
He was found and TMI out of her by the time they had found her body, and he was already partially decayed, so they couldn't tell the sex of the baby.
Oh, poor little baby.
So, you know, that was horrible. That was pretty horrifying. And the girls were obviously in worse shape. The family could not see them when they were being buried. They had to be sealed in a special tape in a special coffin. So when they flew them back to South or North Carolina, their bodies wouldn't explode on the plane from the crude oil. So it's absolutely,
those workers who had to deal with that. I feel so bad for anyone who had to deal with that case, who had to, because you have to view those pictures. You have to see, when you're going through the court system, all the dirty, all the stuff you do not want to see. You have
all
to
the evidence.
All
yeah.
The evidence. Yeah.
Yeah. It's horrible. Most of the investigators that were on this case have retired. They said they got PTSD so bad and it still haunts them today, actually. And we're in 2021. This happened in 2018.
I believe it. I totally believe it.
So it scarred them for life, pretty much. And not only that, but it scarred Shanann's family, her father and her mother and her brother, Frank. What an image to be left with of your loved ones, thinking of them, their skin falling off. And, you know, your nephew, who was supposed to be your nephew, was out of exactly. his mother. I mean, that's no way to treat the wife and mother of your children.
No.
After all those years, I get he wasn't happy anymore, but there's ways to go about this.
And none of them
include murder. No, none. He could have went through, I mean, he probably would have paid out the ass for three children.
Definitely.
And for a really hefty divorce, they would have had to sell the house. I think it would have been ugly, but I think they would have been okay. I think he would have been with his mistress. He would have been happy. I think Shanann would have been devastated for a while, but I do think she would have been able to get back up and do it.
Like, if he was that concerned with having a baby, he could have worn a condom, really.
Well, he wanted apparently a third baby. I think it was a fix the relationship baby.
It will never fix the relationship.
And I don't mean any disrespect to the fetus. Nico was his name. Was his intended name. He was still a little person. You know, we're just talking about it in more of a general sense, just so people don't feel disrespected.
Exactly.
It was horrible.
His life was equal to that of Shanann's and both the girls.
Exactly. I'm pretty sure he got three life sentences at the end of all this, with one count of unlawful termination of a pregnancy for Nico.
Okay.
Because he wasn't viable enough yet to be considered a person in the court. So they couldn't do a life sentence for him yet. So he got three life sentences. Now he's talking about doing parole and getting out early. There's no way.
No way.
There's no way he's going to get out early.
If he is, then we know he's been sucking someone off.
Oh my God. There is no way he is ever going to get out of that prison. He's the biggest outrage. Target.
Yeah, the outrage, the outroar that they would cause.
I mean, it'd be worse than Casey Anthony.
It really would.
It'd be 100 times worse than Casey Anthony. And he doesn't deserve to be out of prison.
No. He doesn't.
This is the case, and it's pretty widely publicized, so we didn't go into details because, again, you can find this anywhere. We're going to post links on our Facebook page. You can find all of our sources. I mean, this is posted everywhere. All the dirty little details about this case that we didn't want to include in our podcasts are available online. And some of the groups are saying that Chris has changed. Now he's a man of God.
I mean, that's an excuse. I don't believe that.
And that he deserves a second chance.
I'm sorry. I personally do not think he does. What about you?
I don't think he does. I think if you take the lives of your own biological children, you should pay with your own.
Agreed. I agree with you.
I don't think he's fit to be out in society. Who says he wouldn't do it again?
Well, exactly. He claims, I would never do it again. I actually have that quoted here where he says he would never do it again. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Well, the beginning is just him kind of trying to repent, I guess you can say. And then kind of talked about the time served and that they told me that in Europe, the law is I would serve 20 years for homicide. And then in California, 25 years on a life sentence, which you can be released if you've had good behavior. I really don't know what that he's even about. It's just part of his ramblings. But
he's trying to prove a point.
Yeah. If God keeps putting it on earth that there is more to the story than what I've told the FBI, then you're correct. I don't like saying stuff like that over the phone because I'm never certain of when they're screening my calls. I don't know if you want this in the book or if God does, but here are a few things I left out. Number one, on August 12th, I finished putting the girls to bed. I walked away and said, that's the last time I'm going to tuck my babies in. He planned it. It was planned from the start that excuse of a lie, of they had an argument. That was just his tipping point for him, a reason for him to actually do it immediately then.
That was his excuse.
Exactly, exactly. And then the morning of the 13th, I went into the girls' rooms before Shanann and I had an argument. I went into Bella's room and then Cece's. I used a pillow from their bed to kill them. That's why the cause of death was smothering. After I left Cece's room, after smothering her, I climbed back into bed with Shanann, and then that's when our argument happened. After she passed, Cece and Bella woke back up because they indeed were not actually dead, which is even worse for the kids.
That makes me wonder if Shanann came home and went to check on the girls and maybe found them not breathing.
And then that's when the fight and argument ensued.
That's the fuel to the fire.
A detail that might be a little TMI. Bella's eyes were bruised and both the girls looked like they had been through some sort of trauma. That made it act much worse knowing I went to their rooms first to take their lives at the location of the batteries. It means there. Additionally, the reason the medical examiner found oxycodone in Shanann's system is because I gave it to her. I thought it would be easier to be with Nicole if Shanann wasn't pregnant. And that goes on to quote Bible passage, but this is actually his letters from prison directly, which is actually in a book. I am not really going to promote the book. I don't think the book should be promoted.
Proven to be a farce, basically.
Yeah, I don't think his voice needs to be heard. We don't need to hear his voice.
I agree.
We have it in two sentences of what happened that night.
Yeah.
The only thing we don't have is essentially the why written down.
Yeah. Yeah. Something that makes sense to people.
Exactly. Because some people like a solid conclusion. Like
he did it because of this.
This. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Easy.
This is the reason he did it, blah, blah, blah.
But none of it makes sense.
Right here. Do I feel like I should be incarcerated? For the act I committed, I most definitely think so. Do I imagine myself ever doing anything like this or be a danger to society? I most definitely think not. If I were to be released from prison, I would go to straight to a ministry and start going to jails and prisons to help cellmates.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that.
Right? I don't either.
I think this is just...
The thing is, it happens. People get off.
It does. It does.
People get off early for good behavior all the time. Like,
it does happen. Very often, actually. It happens more than people think it does. And then they end up reoffending and they end up right back where they came from. And I believe that if he had the opportunity once, he would do it again.
Oh, I think so as well. I totally think so as well.
But like, I think he'd be really smart about it this time.
Yes, yes. He would want to be the smart that, no offense to the victims, Israel Keyes was.
It's true. He would
want to be that smart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We will actually speak more if you don't know about Israel Keyes. That will be coming up on, I believe, episode 6.
Episode 6. So stay tuned to that one. Yes, Israel Keyes was a genius. Not only was he cold and calculated, but he actually was very incredibly smart and evaded police for a very long time. Whereas a dumb criminal like Chris Watts was found within like 13 hours of his murder.
The first 48. The first at 48, least. Baby.
Exactly. And he was, I mean, that was it. He pleaded guilty. He said, I'm guilty. And that was it. He was sentenced. And now I hear he has a pretty cushy life in prison where he is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I read something about a prisoner being in contact with his underwear. So somehow a prisoner got his underwear and that was a big deal.
Apparently the story was Chris lent this younger inmate his underwear and his lube, aka his lotion.
Shut up.
Yeah. To let him use it because he didn't have any or whatever. It was some kind of BS story. Which is like, really? I'm sorry, but like, Chris, you have 3 life sentences. We know you might be gay for the stay, buddy, and that's okay.
That is A-okay.
So like, really?
But not for the stay. For really? Life.
For life. Like, really, it's okay.
It is.
And so that's what happened there. And then Chris was moved somewhere else and whatever. So now he's like, Mr. God, he said, I want to be a minister and I want to change people's lives and go to prisons and help people. And it's like, you killed your daughters and your wife.
I actually do have another quote I do want to add. I don't know if you actually said it. Did you mention how he knew exactly how to squeeze the veins in Shanann's neck to cut off the blood flow to make her die?
I don't think he said. He just said he wrapped his hands around her neck and just squeezed. But then again, some of it was premeditated. He could have been studying beforehand.
Oh, exactly. Well, he had... How long was Shanann gone?
Six weeks.
Exactly. So he had more than enough time to, when sitting at a cafe, a quick little search here.
Exactly. Exactly. It just, I think there's so much more that we don't know about this case. And I think Chris needs to fill in all those little tidbits that don't add up.
But like a lot of crimes, most of them we won't know until people are either on their deathbed and willing to talk, or we just won't know.
Exactly.
That's the unfortunate truth.
Or some people are just really forthcoming about their murders and say, yeah, like I murdered them. So what? It takes a special type.
It does. It really does.
And Chris Watts was the worst family annihilator, I think, for history, at least right now. I think it was just horrible, horrible. And there's
I feel like there might be some out there that may trump this one. That maybe we haven't actually stumbled upon. So
true.
Based on what we know so far. Exactly.
Yeah.
What we know so far,
this tops it. And I'm sure there's other cases out there that are equally horrible.
Exactly.
I can't even imagine.
We hope to do a episode possibly speaking about family annihilators and maybe talking about the different types and maybe mentioning this one. We are possibly looking at mentioning Scott
Peterson.
Yes, Scott Peterson.
Yeah.
Some people might not consider that one a family annihilator, but some people do. So it's up to the viewer always on their opinion. What we say might not be what you like or what you say or your opinion on it. We are open to everyone's opinions.
Totally are.
We're not closed-minded.
No, we're not.
We welcome it. We welcome everything.
We welcome constructive criticism as well.
Yes, being our first episode, we understand that the first couple will be a little rocky, and we thank you for sticking with us and tuning in for our later episodes, in which the quality will get much better.
Yes, it will. We promise.
We promise.
So we wanted to touch up as well on this episode, not only of the murder, but we wanted to touch up on Cindy Watts. Chris Watts's mother wrote a book with her daughter, and I'm not going to say her daughter's name because she doesn't want to be made public. And basically the book, all the leaked chapters were leaked onto Reddit, at least some of them. Jordan exactly. Found some for me.
Yes, I think it was the first 4 or 5 chapters,
and it was basically a Shanann bashing book.
Oh, it really was. The best was a quote, something like, my son was a great person and he
quiet.
Never done this, quiet and respectful and all around a great guy, blah, blah, blah. And
but it was like, her.
Yeah. And I'm like, how many serial killers' parents, how many like horrible murder parents have actually said that about their children in the past?
Exactly.
Yes, they were great. Yes, you don't think they could do unspeakable
crimes. Evil, yeah.
They do.
Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer.
Just to name two. Like, we could go on and name.
We could.
Name, but it's
useless. Serial killers are usually very, very quiet, and they're usually, people are very drawn to them because, like, Ted Bundy was known to be extremely intelligent and wise.
People considered him handsome as well, but we're not here to totally. Talk him up.
No, we're not.
How great he is.
We're just saying what other people have said. They were attracted to him because of what he had to offer. And a lot of serial killers have that same sort of personality about them, per se. What is that word I'm thinking of? Ted Bundy was very, I'm trying to think of the word. Starts with a W.
Not wishy-washy.
No, it's not that. I'll think of it. But anyway, so that's the point. So the book was basically a bashing book about Shanann, about all the times and all the things she's done that were basically terrible. And I mean, I encourage people to read it because I do think to see both sides is very, very important. I don't like, I wouldn't buy it, but it was interesting to read about it, to read her perspective. Like, okay, well, she, you know, he murdered Shanann, but that's okay because she was like this.
Right.
That's people's what her book said defenses. To me.
Yeah. People's defenses are really interesting, and to seeing how they're attempting to defend the actions is interesting, but in the way
it's crazy,
we don't want to support it, but we want to know about it.
Yeah, totally. Like, I mean, it just blows my mind, and I think that's maybe why it wasn't published officially yet, because it has so many bashing of Shanann, and I just can't see her parents signing off on anything like that with her name in it. I can't ever see Cindy Watts getting the licensing and publishing this book.
I think it is published, actually.
If it is, excuse me.
I mean, there's some things out there that should not be published.
Oh yeah, there's lots.
That is. So I could imagine it being published, but I'm not 100% sure.
So basically it was a Shanann bashing book, which Shanann was a human. I am not going to make her, like Jordan and I discussed, we're not going to make her out to be this angel. She made mistakes. Chris made mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes.
Act and react to those mistakes.
Yeah. And no one,
or break it.
No one deserves to be murdered in the way that her and her daughters were, because of how strong she might have been or her personality. Some people have said she was narcissistic on these Facebook groups. They analyze her videos down to the very last detail. And that's not what we're all about. We're not going to do that. We are not going to nitpick. We respect
people
those.
Like to obsess over things.
Yeah. And we're just not going to do that. I feel very badly for Shanann's family specifically. And I just want them to know that like our heart is with them. And we hope that they find this podcast tasteful if they ever do hear it. We just want to bring awareness to other women that may be in this type of situation. And you see these red flags, you need to get out. You need to leave.
Exactly,
you need 100%. To get somewhere safe with your children.
This is actually going to be a topic that we speak of in one of our Friday podcasts. But yes.
I mean, there were so many red flags.
There really was. Like how many times she had texted her friends saying, oh, something's off. He didn't touch me. He didn't have sex with me. It's been however many weeks.
Yeah.
And not even an I love you.
Shanann knew something was up.
Yes. We see it in the text messages.
The proof is in the pudding with this one. It really is.
She didn't have the receipts to say yes 100%, but she was 90% that something was up. She just didn't have that last little confirmation, because I think if she would have, the situation would have been different, and I don't think she would have maybe tried necessarily as hard to reconcile.
Honestly, I apparently she wanted to do marriage counseling, and Chris just said, hell no, like I'm not doing that. I'm not going to go talk to a counselor. And this was documented. Shanann told this to one of her friends. I don't know which friend specifically, so I'm not going to say, because I was wrong.
I think it was either Taylor or Nicole. I think that's where these text messages were coming from.
Yeah, there's, again,
I had all the sources for this, but I didn't include them.
All of this is available. It's going to be available on our Facebook page under Files, Chris Watts. And then all of our links, we're going to post all of our sources there, the autopsy, so people can read it for themselves. We want everyone to have access to that same information. So we're all on the same page.
We want the case and the story to kind of, I don't think people need to be obsessing over it anymore.
No.
I think we know what we know.
And people need to put it to bed.
Exactly. There's no need to continuously, because people still bash Shanann's family. I'm sure they get messages all the time from people.
They do.
Oh, she was this and that. No, she wasn't.
She deserved it.
Yes, which 100% is not the case.
And for sure, the little girls didn't deserve it. They were innocent.
They really were.
They were just caught up in a shitty situation.
They really were. And unfortunately, a lot of kids are caught up in a situation like that.
And that's, again, another episode that we are going to discuss on our Friday podcast. It's something kind of near and dear to us.
I love how we have no ideas for Friday podcasts, and now we're talking about it. We're like, Friday.
All of a sudden, we have all these topics.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, but that's good.
Yes,
so, I mean, I think we should talk about some of the leaked chapters. I mean, we talked about the Shanann bashing and all of that. I mean, basically the case right now, it seems very one-sided. And we're going to talk about what these Facebook groups are saying now, because we are in a couple of these groups kind of incognito.
Yes.
To just kind of see what everyone's opinion is. And we're not going to say any names. You can go in the groups and I'm sure you can find these comments. Some of them are really memorable, that's for sure. People say Shanann deserved it. They say she was a narcissist. They say her parenting methods were abusive from baby wise and how she would give the kids Benadryl and melatonin to sleep. People are messaging her family asking for details. People are messaging her friend Nicole asking for more details. And Nicole recently has been battling breast cancer. And I believe she has 4 children of her own, and she just wants it to stop. She wants everyone to just have some peace. And she just says, this is hard enough every day. I live 3 doors down. Like, people need closure. And whatever's meant to come out later is going to come out later.
Exactly. They just want to move on and continue on with their lives the best way they can.
And I personally think the house, if people are wondering about the house, it's absolutely gorgeous. You can Google the picture of the house. It's beautiful. It's currently not even for sale right now. It's still kind of in limbo. It's just kind of sitting there. People don't know what they should do with it. They don't know if they can sell it. So people think on Facebook groups that they should tear it down and make it into a park, a memoriam, which I think is also a really nice idea.
Yes, I do. I remember we talked about this and...
Yeah, we did.
I had to pull up the house on a map myself to take a look. And when I looked at it, like just the area, I felt like maybe it didn't seem like the best spot. But instead of a park, now that I'm thinking about it, I think maybe it should be a garden.
Yeah, that'd be really nice.
A public garden instead.
Like an HOA, homeowners... Yeah. You know, and I want to kind of jump back to the case a little bit, because a big part of the case and what people are talking about is the financials of the Watts case, that they were going into bankruptcy for the second time. And that's why Chris killed his family. I personally think it added to the stress, but I don't think that was the reason.
No, I don't think that was the reason either.
I think Chris started feeling the responsibilities on his shoulder. Not only was he getting bankrupt, he didn't pay his bills. Shanann had control of all the money, and she didn't pay the bills. She was bankrupt once before Chris. This was their second time filing bankruptcy together, and they were days away from going to an eviction court hearing for their house for an unpaid mortgage and HOA fees.
The thing is, though, if that did add on to the issues they already had, that has been people's motivation to kill their families before. I don't want my family to have to deal with my debt, so I'll just kill them all instead, and then I'll just relocate myself.
I mean, I think that was a huge stressor. I think that was something he thought, oh my God, if I get divorced, I'm going to have 3 kids. Now I'm going to have all this debt and this bankruptcy. What am I going to do? And I think it all boiled over. And that's what I think happened. I think she had enough. I think he had enough. And I think it just boiled over and they had a fight and he lost it. I mean, they were in big financial trouble, but I also feel at the same time that that's not really anybody's business to dig into. Like, that kind of died with her.
No, exactly.
That's how I feel.
I want to add that the mistress, I'm just going to call her that. She doesn't need to be named. Has been taken into witness protection.
Yes, she has actually. As well. She was just recently given a brand new name.
So people need to stop looking for her. She's trying to move on as well.
Yeah, I, as much as people, I mean, all the Facebook groups are, she had something to do with it. She was there that night. She helped him kill them. Be as it that may, my opinion on that, and not everybody's going to agree with us, and that's okay. I just feel like it's over. You have to kind of move on and let things die with the case. Chris is going to be locked away in prison for the rest of his life. And there were still two beautiful little girls who lost their life. And there would have been three kids here today. He would have had his beautiful wife. And so what? They sold the house, went to a smaller house. Or maybe they got divorced and went their separate ways and co-parented together. Maybe that was something that could have been, but
But
we'll
now,
never.
nothing could be now.
Now it's just a shell of a house standing there with memories.
Exactly.
That's all
It's
it
too,
is.
it's.
I mean, it's just. Not everyone's going to agree with our opinions, and we're totally okay with that. We're open to that. We're open to constructive criticism on all of our cases, everything that we do. If we get something wrong, please feel free to correct us, whether with a DM or just leaving it in the comments on Insta or Facebook. But we wanted to just bring some enlightenment to this case. The mistress, she needs to live her life, and I think she deserves to move on. And the person who was deemed responsible is in jail now, and people think, if she had something to do with it, well, that's great. That's your opinion, but that hasn't been proven. So I think in order for everyone to heal, people just need to kind of leave it alone and let it die down and talk about it, talk about the crime, make people aware of what to look out for in bad relationships, toxic relationships, marriages that are failing. Make people aware of that. I think that's good. But the nitpicking about everything else and the theories, what could have happened, we're never going to know because the one person that can tell us will not speak. He's only letting information go as he wants because he wants to control it.
The
That's
thing is,
typical narcissistic behavior.
oh, exactly. It totally is. And you know what the thing is, with all of these different differences and opinions and whatnot, everyone will have the chance to get across what they want, because
Yeah.
we have so many more cases in which
Yes.
the outcomes are kind of open-ended, the outcomes are solid and direct, the outcomes are complete mysteries. So we
Yes.
have a lot to talk about in the
And
future.
we will be doing a lot of cases featuring, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer. We're gonna do a lot of that kind of stuff. We are pro Black Lives Matter. Our next episode will be our listeners getting to know all about us. We want you to send your questions in. Spicy and sexy are encouraged. And let's have a little bit of fun. We want to take your Friday after our depressing podcast Monday.
Turn it into a fun day.
Yeah, and turn it into a fun day. So this case was about Chris Watts, and I really hope some people are going to take away from this what some of the signs of a toxic marriage are. And sometimes when the spark goes out, it's okay to leave. It's okay to uproot your life and start over. I just want everyone to know that because people are going through it every single day. And there's too many of these family cases of people being murdered. Just divorce. Yes, you're going to be broke, but at least you're going to be happy.
It's a common issue that's going around that everyone has dealt with, has seen someone deal with in their life.
I'm currently going through this myself with my parents, and it's not a good thing when you're fighting over it. It's either you want to be happy or you want to be right. You can't be both. That's just my opinion.
Exactly. Okay,
So
do we have any last thoughts on this case before we put it to rest?
I don't know. It's just so horrible. It sits with me every day. I think about it every day. As a, oh my God, like I need to appreciate my loved ones. I need to appreciate my child more. I need to appreciate my partner. I think it just makes you appreciate what you have in your life and kind of take a look at things.
Everyone has different reasons for getting into murder, mystery, and mayhem types of podcasts. And we hope that we can touch upon maybe someone's opinion who possibly doesn't think they get heard, someone who needs someone to speak out for them, because not everyone can do that themselves. Through our various topics that we do have planned. Off the top of my head, I'm just kind of drawing a blank. I'm gonna have to say it again. It really bugged me. It really bugs me just the way the children were disposed of.
Yeah, as, me too.
As horrible as they were. Like, I've said that 3 times or 4 times already this podcast, but that is, I think for me, that is the one thing in this case that just puts me in a big headache of thoughts.
Yeah, it just makes you it makes you depressed.
Yes.
I mean, these beautiful girls were healthy. And I do want to touch up on one more thing before we leave that's very important to this case. Celeste, who was the youngest daughter of the Watts family, had a severe nut allergy. And that's also something that's very back and forth on the groups. People say Shannon had Munchausen syndrome. And listen. Just leave her alone. Let her rest in peace. How she chose to raise her children and the way she chose to go about things was what she thought was right. And we're not going to judge her because of those choices that she made.
We are going to judge Chris and his fucking choices he made because he's a piece of shit.
Which was horrible.
Exactly.
Fucking asshole.
That's why we like to talk about these cases. We don't like to talk positively about these killers. Like, yes, we may say that they're clever, they're extremely smart, but in the end, everything is horrible. Everything that's been done is horrible. Everything that will happen in the future is horrible. And we just want an open conversation, like we said. We want anyone to be aware, people who are new to mysteries and murders, to enjoy our podcast, to find something in themselves that they can kind of connect with us with.
Yeah, and maybe think about what each case we talk about, how it connects positively to your day. Like, maybe I should tell, you know, my mom I love her more today. Or maybe I should tell, you know, maybe I should give my kid more kisses and hugs today. We just want it to resonate with you. And we want to help, hopefully, deter these crimes from continuing in the future. If anybody can hear us out there, please do not kill your family.
Please don't kill your family. Please don't.
Get a divorce. Your
family, run away, but don't kill your fucking family.
Just don't. Please join us next time for our episode number 2 on Amelia Earhart, The Mystery of What Happened.